You probably know Jimmy Fallon as host of The Tonight Show on NBC.
Trump told his staff to do whatever it takes to stop anyone from saying anything that could endanger his presidency. And his staff was like, okay, and duct taped his mouth shut.
What you might not know is that Fallon is also the author of a number of picture books for parents and their young children, including one that is out this week. It's called This Is Baby. And Jimmy Fallon joins us from New York. Welcome.
Oh, Jeremy, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
Well, and I have to say, I don't have kids, but I had no idea that you were moonlighting as a New York Times bestselling picture book author. How did that start?
I did it as a goof. I did it, a book called Your Baby's First Word Will Be Dada. And I did it as a fun thing because I really wanted my daughter to say Dada first instead of
Mama.
Well, it's not a real competition, but secretly it is. I mean, you kind of want the baby to say Dada first. So I did this book where everything is like, I mean, when I talk to my daughter, I would give her bottles of milk and whatever, and I go, Dada? Dada? Do you want Dada? I mean, I don't care if she's stupid. I go, well, she'll figure it out. She'll be smart one day, but I just want the first word to be Dada. So the book is, the first book was like, Dada moo, dada quack, dada, you know, all different animal sounds. And what happened was it sold like 2 million copies or something. It went crazy. And I started getting videos from people saying like, hey, my kid's actually reading the book back to me. And then I got videos and tweets from teachers saying, Jimmy, this book is actually pretty good. Like kids are actually finding the confidence in reading, that they actually enjoy reading books. You're making a smart child. And I was like, oh my God, of course, that's what I planned all along. I'm a genius.
Well, and this one, by the way, is all about the body parts of a baby. This is baby's nose. These are baby's eyes.
Yeah. What I did with this one is like, I just wanted to make it fun. I mean, I can speak for tired parents out there, and I am a tired parent. And I usually read 3 books to my kids before they go to sleep, and it's tough. At some point, you go, dude, I can't read anymore. I'm actually – you have to go to sleep, and this is annoying. This is awful. So this book, you can read in 20 seconds or you can read for 20 minutes. It's up to you.
Do you remember what you read when you were a young kid?
Yeah, there was one book, no one likes it, no one knows it, but it's called Here Comes the Strikeout. And it really changed my life. I loved it because it was about a kid that kept striking out at baseball, and he kind of got bullied. And then at one point he got a hit at the end of the story. I think it told me in my brain, like, keep trying and don't give up.
Okay, so then let me then transition to asking you about the fact that you right now have a job that for many people and some of your predecessors, it was like the career-ending job that they had, that they made it by the time they got to The Tonight Show. How does that feel now? Because you're only in your 40s to have that role.
I mean, it's the best. I mean, I'm very lucky to have, fun people around me and to be able to – I've had a career in this business. It's like I've been at NBC for 20 years. It's crazy. It makes no sense. It's like I feel like I'm still a kid, you know, but I'm not. I'm 45. But it's like I'm like Al Roker. It's like, dude, I've been there that long. Where it's like, what? It's weird. And I still got years to go.
Does it feel like a different time right now? I mean, we're doing a 2-hour-a-day news program, and obviously the last couple of years have been different than ever before. But
do you hate what you're doing? Do you like?
No, I love it. I mean, it's interesting. I get to talk to different people every day, and I enjoy following what's going on in the world. But you're doing that in a similar way, different. But I mean, does it feel different to you right now? Do you like it?
It's not the Obama era, which was all I knew. You know, was the Obama era, and I loved it. And we made jokes about him and made fun of him. We wore, like, khaki pants. That was the joke of him. It's, like, hilarious that
– Or dad jeans, right?
That was the biggest joke you could make about Obama. And this guy now is just – every day he knows what he's doing, by the way. He actually knows show business. So he's in the headlines every day for a reason. No matter what you say about this guy, and if you like him, hate him, he's in the conversation every single day. And so you can make other jokes, but the headlines are him.
And I would say you're the first host of The Tonight Show that has really had to think about social media in a big way in terms of what you're doing. Is that as important to you, the things that will be viewed a million times on social media the next day, as what's on the air on television that night?
Yeah, it's different. It's totally different crowd and different audience. And I don't care what any research person will tell you. I'll be the first person to say there is no connection from social media to linear viewing. There's 18-year-olds, there's 13-year-olds watching Tonight Show online. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what television is. Like, they don't even understand what that is. They go, what?
Right.
Of course it is. I have fans from Germany, from Dubai, and you're like, where do you see me? Is it on, like, television, Sky TV or something? They go, YouTube. And it's like, wow. It's sad to say that TV's dying, but it's kind of dying. And I'm happy that social media exists because people get to watch your stuff and get to see your bits. I remember my producer, Gavin, when we first started, he told me about Twitter. And I signed up for Twitter, and I remember getting 100 followers. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, dude, we have 100 followers. That's 100 more people that are going to watch this show. It's amazing.
And now you have 51 million followers on Twitter.
51 million.
51.4 million. We can't forget about the 0.4.
Thank you. but it's crazy to think about that. Like, I was so excited about 100 people. 51 million people now follow me on Twitter. And I don't think it leads into The Tonight Show that much. You know, I don't think it actually does anything. I think people online are
online.
It's
a different audience.
I believe it is. Do you find people listen to you in their cars or on their apps or what?
I mean, I think it's all over the place. But it's definitely a different group of people that are listening on podcasts, that are listening on, you know, some digital devices as opposed
to what do your bosses want you to do? They want you to go to npr.com?
.org, Jimmy.
Jesus. I don't have a radio in my house. And
well,
we'll
send
music.
We will send you a radio so that you have one just in case the power.
Well, what
and the,
would that
the
be when I out. When I open the box? What does it look like, Jeremy?
It's got two little
Describe
speakers.
It to me.
It's got two little speakers and a dial. Usually it's digital now.
Oh my God!
All right, let me ask you one more thing, because before I talked to you, I went back and watched an episode of SNL when you were on, and it's one that actually a friend told me. He said, "Oh my God." Remember when Jimmy Fallon couldn't stop laughing in that Debbie Downer episode? And so I went and watched it.
I was good in that.
It
was
great.
That,
no, Scott. It was amazing. It was hilarious. But
I barely broke.
How often now do you have laughing fits?
It's funny that I became the guy that laughs. I'm the thing. But it's like it's funny. When I first started SNL, I was the impersonation guy. They go, oh, my God, he does – great impersonation. Then it was the guy who laughed at himself. Then it was Weekend Update guy. Mm-hmm. But it's like hilarious. But the one that comes back to me is that I laughed all the time. And I only laughed at like maybe like 5 or 6 sketches. But it's famous sketches.
Well, it was infectious, even for the people who were on stage with you.
I did not want to do it. I really felt bad. To be really honest, I was out of my league. And I was in a sketch with the funniest human beings on earth. So I didn't know what to do. So I started laughing. And they were like, dude, you can't laugh. And I go, but it's funny. They go, yeah, but you're in the sketch. You can't laugh at the sketch. You're in the sketch. Will Ferrell was one of the funniest human beings I ever worked with. And I did Cowbell. I think it was the first sketch that I broke in. And when we did the bit, when he was hitting the cowbell – his shirt rose up so much, his whole gut, his whole stomach was hanging out. And then even Christopher Walken was like upping his game. He was almost doing an impression of himself. He was like going like, you know, we got to have cow, blah, blah. Like he wasn't even talking like a human. And it was the funniest thing I've ever actually was witness to in my life.
Wow.
And I lost it.
But the thing is, if you could pick anything to do all day long, anybody, I would think that laughing would be at the top of the list. Imagine.
It should be.
Yeah.
You choose to laugh. You choose to cry. You choose to do anything. That's your choice.
I think we have the subject for your next book, Laughing.
Jesus. Is it too serious? It's too serious.
That is Jimmy Fallon, whose new book is This Is Baby. He's also, of course, the host of The Tonight Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jeremy, you're the best. Thank you for doing this. And honestly, I want to tune in to radio to listen to you.
We're sending you a radio.
Please send me a radio. And I'm telling you, you're keeping people listening. And that's a great thing. All our times have
come. And you can see some of the videos we've been talking about and laugh yourself at hearandnow.org.